Take up the quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders fields. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we give our today. Our Father, we come before Thee this Remembrance Sunday, and we thank You, O Lord, for the great sacrifice that has been made by our armed forces. And we come together today to remember those who didn't come home, those whose bodies, those whose remains lie on foreign battlefields. We thank You today that all gave some, but some gave all. We thank You today, O Lord, that freedom isn't free. We're so conscious that freedom comes at a price. Freedom costs. It costs to obtain, and it costs to maintain. Lord, let us cherish our freedoms. Let us be custodians of freedom, guardians of freedom. Let our nation be a free land. Deliver us, Lord, even from our enemies who would seek to remove our freedoms from us. Defeat those who would seek to bring us into bondage. Lord, deliver us from tyranny and arbitrary power, we pray. We thank You for that greatest of all freedom that we have today, the freedom to worship, the freedom to assemble together. We realize, Lord, that it goes right back to Magna Carta, the freedom of the Church. Lord, do preserve our freedoms, we pray. But how we thank You today for our Saviour, the great Captain of the Lord's host, the Commander, our Heavenly General. How we praise Thee for Him who came into this earthly battlefield 2,000 years ago and went and entered into mortal combat with the great enemy of our souls. And we praise Thee that at Calvary He triumphed over principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. Lord, we rejoice in that victory today. But that great victory has come at a cost to our blessed Redeemer. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, thank You that our Saviour laid down His life, not for His friends, but for His enemies. For those He had created who had rebelled against Him. Lord, we thank You today that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost He offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. Bless us, Lord, as we worship our Saviour today, for it's in His name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. In Westminster Abbey, there is what's known as the Tomb of the Unknown Warrior. An unknown soldier was brought back from the battlefields of Europe in 1920 and was led to rest there in Westminster Abbey. His memorial plaque is there. You can obviously go and visit the Abbey, but you can Google it, which is a lot handier. And you can see the pictures there of where the unknown warrior lies. And there's a beautiful plaque there that has been laid in his memory. Around the edge of it, there are poppy wreaths. But also around the edge are Bible verses. One of the verses is the verse that we have read today. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this. There's another remarkable memorial to the glorious dead. It's not in England. It's actually in Australia. It's called the Shrine of Remembrance. The Shrine of Remembrance. It's in Melbourne. In that Shrine of Remembrance, there is a marble stone. On the stone are the words of John 15. The words of Christ. Greater love hath no man. It's very, very interesting. Now, don't ask me to explain how they do it. But every year, on the 11th of November, at 11 a.m., there's a ray of light that shines in through the roof of that memorial, and it shines directly onto those words, greater love hath no man. It actually shines specifically onto the word love. Love. Again, don't ask me how they managed to do it, but you can set your watch, set your clock to it. It will happen. It's every year. 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. on the 11th of November at the Shrine of Remembrance in Melbourne, Australia, this ray of light comes in through the roof and it pinpoints that word, love. In a sense, I want us to shine a light upon this word today. This wonderful word, love, as it's found in our text for today. And this is the text that I shared at the Garden of Remembrance yesterday morning. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. These wonderful words of Christ, and you know the words of Christ in some Bibles are in red, aren't they? Well, these words certainly deserve to be in red. Because you see, friends, these words remind us of the sacrifice of our military. But most importantly of all, they remind us of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sacrifice that sets us free from the penalty of sin, from the power, from the stranglehold of sin upon our lives, and ultimately that sets us free and one day will set us free from the very presence of sin. John 15 verse 13 speaks, of course, of patriotic love. It speaks of that love that we remember and we commemorate on Remembrance Sunday. It speaks of human love. Earthly love. We could call it Philos love, or the word Philos comes from Philadelphia, you know, the city in America. It comes from the Greek word Philos, brotherly love. Brotherly love. We remember on this special day brotherly love, soldiers who laid down their lives for their comrades, for their country. But you know, friends, there's a greater love than earthly love, than the love of human beings for one another. Because you see, John 15 speaks of man's love. Did you notice that? The word man in verse 13 is repeated. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Man's love. But this Remembrance Sunday, I want to lift it to a higher realm, and I want us to think about the love not of a man, but the love of the God man. The God man, who is that? The man Christ Jesus. He's the God man. That's what theologians call him, the God man. The one who was God and man. That miracle that took place, that we're told of in 1 Timothy chapter 3, that God was manifest in the flesh. We've talked today about our carol services next month. We're looking forward to them. Looking forward to Christmas. Seems to be that our rulers, that it's always COVID and never Christmas. Do you remember in the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis, he spoke of the White Witch. It was always winter, it was never Christmas. Seems to be at the moment, it's always COVID, it's never Christmas. You know, the talk about people not being able to enjoy Christmas, to have Christmas with loved ones. Don't worry, folks, in this church we're going to have Christmas. We're going to remember the coming of the King of Kings. Two 2,000 years ago at Bethlehem, when he was miraculously conceived in the Virgin's womb, and the eternal Son of God entered into our world, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. But our rulers tell us, better not celebrate it. We're going to celebrate it. What love it was that brought him here. The great Creator became our Saviour, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. The love that we're speaking of today is what's known in the Greek as agape love. The love of God for fallen man. Agape love, a love that sacrifices for the good of another. I want to speak to you today about the four dimensions of our wonderful Saviour's love. The love of Christ. The four dimensions, the four magnitudes. First of all, the height of Christ's love. The height of his love. I want to say that his love is as high as heaven. Because that's where he came from. And in just over a month's time, we will be celebrating the fact that he came from heaven. He came from that land where there are no viruses, where there are no lockdowns, where there is no social distancing, where there is no isolation. There are no ambulances. There are no hospitals. There is no fear. Fear doesn't exist in that place. It's just unbridled joy. And that is where he came from. Into this world to save this worm of the dust who is preaching to you today. to save this vile wretch who stands behind this sacred desk this Remembrance Sunday. Because he came into this world, my soul will never be lost. If you're a believer, your soul will never be lost. Now, no matter about the tests of time and the trials that we're going through, that ought to strike a note of joy in your heart. And the love of God reached up to heaven and took hold of the crown jewels of heaven, the Christ of God, and brought him down to save people in new buildings, to save you, to save me, to save a lost world. No wonder John Patton went forth to the New Hebrides, and we spoke about it on Thursday night. No wonder he went to the South Pacific to reach the cannibals for Christ, to bring the gospel of saving grace to the savages. And John Patton was told before he left the shores of Scotland, John, they're going to eat you alive. But they didn't eat him alive, and even though they tried to. Apparently, there's one occasion where he had to hide in the chestnut tree from the cannibals. But they didn't discover him. And you know the amazing thing is that John Patton records in his biography that that night in the chestnut tree far away from Scotland, thousands of miles away, his Saviour's presence was so incredibly real. A lot of good folk in isolation today, they would so love to be in the house of God, but they can't be. The Saviour is able to make his presence so real to them. John Patton went to the South Seas. Remember on Thursday night, those of you who were there, we told you how that he buried his wife and his little baby after just 3 months on the mission field. Some people say, oh, if you're in the will of God, nothing will go wrong. If you're in the will of God, very often everything goes wrong. But you're in the will of God, that's all that matters. You remember, folks, we told you Thursday night about the legacy of John Patton, the thousands of cannibals who came to Christ through his ministry, through his sacrifice. Is it any wonder that he went forth to tell of such a wonderful Saviour who loved him with an agape love, love that no preacher could ever adequately describe. Love brought my Saviour here to die on Calvary for such a sinful wretch as I. How can it be? Love bridged the gulf twixt me and heaven, taught me to pray. I am redeemed, set free, forgiven. Love found a way. The height of Christ's love, the depth of Christ's love, our text says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. Jesus laid down his life. It's a wonderful statement, it's a wonderful phrase. It means that he voluntarily, willingly laid down his life. Roman soldiers didn't take his life from him. Jewish leaders didn't take his life from him. No, he laid his life down willingly as an act of agape love for the lost sons and daughters of Adam's race. The depth of his love. 1 John 3 verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. If ever you needed a proof text for the deity of Christ, that Christ is really God, there you have it. If the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or some other cult come to you and say Jesus Christ is not God, point them to 1 John 3:16. There you have it, proof. The one on the cross was God. He laid down his life for us. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. The width of his love. Oh, there's another dimension, the width of his love. You see, he laid down his life not for his friends, but for his enemies. Oh, the Savior in John 15 was speaking of how his disciples ought to lay down their lives for other disciples, and we as believers ought to be prepared, if it comes to it, to lay down our lives for other believers. That ought to be the extent and the depth and the magnitude of our love for one another. Now we're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the context in John 15. Jesus is not talking about love for those who are lost, those who are unconverted. Now, in other places, of course, he does tell us to love those who are lost, those who are unconverted, but not in John 15. The context is love for brothers and sisters in Christ. And the ultimate outcome of that love, if the situation requires it, is that we lay down our lives for the brethren. But the love of Christ is, it's way above that, because he laid down his life for his enemies, for the inhabitants of planet Earth who had rebelled against him. Romans 5:10, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Some of you in this service today, once you were the enemy of Christ, now you are the friend of Christ. That's the wonderful change that has taken place in your life. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. Is he your friend today? Are you in this friendly relationship with Christ? Are you on friendly terms with the one who loved you and gave himself for you? Or are you still his enemy today on this Remembrance Sunday 2020. God has spared you to see another Remembrance Sunday. The tragedy is that perhaps you're still the enemy of this wonderful Savior. Throw down your puny arms of rebellion today. Come to him. And you will never regret it. Take it from me. There are many things in life that we regret. I have many regrets in my life. We all do. That's what it is to be human. But one thing you will never ever regret, and one thing that I have never ever regretted, is that day that I decided to follow Christ. Oh, the width of his love. He died for enemies, not friends. What kind of love is this that gave itself for me? I am the guilty one. Yet I go free. Let me finish today with the length of Christ's love, the length of his love. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3, the prophet describes the love of Christ. He says, it's like the words of Christ in the Old Testament. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I've loved thee from eternity past, and I will love thee into eternity future. I will never stop loving thee. That's the message for you today, believer. Oh, be ravished today with the length of Christ's love. Such love springs from eternity. Such love streaming through history. Such love, fountain of life to me. Oh, Jesus, such love. And if you're saved today, I want to assure you that the Lord Jesus is going to lavish all his love upon you throughout eternity, in that place we referred to earlier called heaven. In John 14 verse 3, he has given us his promise. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus Christ has promised to return, and he always keeps his promises. Question is, are you ready? On March the 11th, 1942, under orders from President Franklin Roosevelt, General Douglas MacArthur left the Philippines and the 90,000 American and Filipino troops stationed there during World War II. 6 days later, he issued a statement to the press in which he promised his men and the people of the Philippines, "I shall return." Those three words became his mantra during the next 2.5 years, and he repeated them often in public appearances. On October the 20th, 1944, MacArthur did return. On that day, he made a radio broadcast in which he declared, "People of the Philippines, I have returned." Jesus Christ has promised, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Jesus Christ has said, "I shall return," and one day, folks, when he comes back, he will be able to say those words like General MacArthur, "I have returned." Our Bible class this past week have been learning their focus verse, Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. I leave it with you as we finish. "Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour, as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."